Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Well, welcome to another episode of the Times of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. Here with my love, Israel, Shalom, Shalom. Tonight is the Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry here with our brother Horace Miles. Tonight we Shabbat Shalom is the light. Shabbat Shalom. Hallelujah.
Peace and blessings. Hallelujah.
Peace and blessings. Peace and
blessings. I was talking all along, had my mic on mute.
That's all good, man. That's a beautiful thing. Call them Isaiah moment.
Amen.
We had a close to this.
Go ahead, brother.
Well, hey, we turn it over to you, my brother.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. So we'll go ahead and jump into this. I just want to say Shabbat Shalom to everybody out there in Blog Talk Land and Pal Talk Land on the internet in general, wherever you might be listening from. We greet you in the Master's name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, my Lord and Savior, my God, my Redeemer, my Rock. The lover of my soul. I hope everybody has had a blessed Sabbath and that you've either eaten well in the word of God or that you have gotten the prescribed rest. I want to welcome you all out to another edition of Yah's Global Kingdom, and where the gospel is free, but the kingdom will cost you everything you have. Most I says, if you want to get into my kingdom, you have to be willing to give your all. You should esteem it so precious that you would be willing to sell your all to get in. So, peace and blessings. We are continuing in the book of Romans. The enemy has been busy. Last week, the week before last, I put in like 60, almost 70 hours, and this week I put in almost 80 hours. In a week, too many hours, had me worn out. So today I decided, you know what, I'm just going to stay my behind in bed. I'm not getting up. I'm not doing anything but giving this body some rest. I'm getting too old to be doing this many hours. And, you know, I hate to say it, but, yeah, I'm just getting too old to do it. So we hope that we say something tonight. From the book of Romans that is going to encourage you in the word of Yah, that is going to enlighten you. In the book of Romans, as I said, looking at the book of Romans from the kingdom perspective, Paul, in his writings, says a lot to Israel, or says a lot about Israel, let me put it that way, to the Romans. And we want to look at what he said and see if we can take what Paul said and apply it to our lives today and even to our understanding. So before we get started, I want the ladies to cover their heads, the men to uncover their heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High as we go before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people would keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, laws, and commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. And you have said that if we would not complain, and if we would repent and turn from our wicked ways, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel, and you would hear our supplications and our prayers. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly, and we have walked contrary to you, and that we have sinned. And, Father, we repent of those sins, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High God. So, Father, as we go forth tonight, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. Our scripture reading is going to come from the book of Romans, chapter 8, and I'm going to read verses 1 down through verses 1 through 15. Book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. There is, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So then, they are in the flesh, they that are in the flesh, cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Thank you, Father. May there be a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I want everybody to get your Bibles out. I don't want you just listening tonight. The chapters that we're going to cover, chapters 10 and 11, in Paul's writing, he uses a lot of them and they and theirs. And if you don't keep up with the them and the they and the theirs, you will get lost in the text. And so we want to make sure that we stay focused in these readings, because there's a blessing in here. There's a word for Israel. There's a word for the Gentiles. And a lot of the teachings that we have been taught in these readings, I think a lot of times we miss it because of the them and the theys and the theirs and the thous. And I know a lot of people don't like reading the King James Version of the Bible because of the these and the thous. But I'm going to do something tonight a little bit different, because I have already, what I've done is gone ahead of time and put in who the they and the them and the theirs are referencing, so we can try to keep up. Now, I want you to read along with me so that if you feel like I make a mistake, I want you to point it out to me, because, you know, I don't want to be in error, and I don't want to teach error. I want us, you know, the whole goal here is that we are supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth. So I don't want to be off. I don't want to be giving my own opinion, my own understanding. I just want to say what thus saith Yah in his word. So without further ado, let's jump into Romans chapter 10. And please follow along in your own Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Elohim for Israel is that Israel might be saved. So we got our topic right here. Paul is writing to the Romans, and he's addressing the saints that are in Rome as brethren. And he is wanting them to understand that his desire, his heart desire, is that Elohim or God would save Israel, that he might save Israel. That is his whole purpose for this particular chapter in this letter. So, yes, everyone, get your Bible. He says, "For I bear Israel record, that Israel have zeal of Elohim." And when I say Elohim, this is God, for those who don't use the Hebrew or what they say is the Hebrew. Okay, I choose this word for a different reason, but who don't have a zeal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. So he says, "For I bear Israel record that Israel have a zeal." They have this energy concerning the faith, concerning keeping the law of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. For Israel, being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness, going about to establish Israel's own righteousness, having not submitted themselves, Israel, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Elohim. So he's telling us right in the first few lines, this is what the problem with Israel is. And if you hear me coughing a lot, sort of caught a cold or a cough, really. So I apologize ahead of time. So Israel, the Most High said, or Paul is saying through the Most High, that Israel was ignorant of the Most High's righteousness. Now, Israel is the one that the Most High was dealing with all the time, or most of the time. But then Israel is ignorant of God's or Elohim's righteousness and going about to establish its own. So when we say that, when we find out who we are as a people, we tend to go into what I call Hebrewism, and we start trying to keep the law because we're a Hebrew Israelite, and we go about to establish our own righteousness. And it's not according to, as Paul is saying, to knowledge. So he says, Israel being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness, going about to establish Israel's own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So that's their problem. That's our problem. That's us as a people. Each individual man can be different. But as a people overall, he said, we had not submitted ourselves to the righteousness of God. We established our own righteousness and more or less told him that we're holier than you. For Christ is the end, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, he's not saying that the law is done away with. We've been over this through several chapters and several books. The law is not done away with. But you put yourself under the law when you don't obey the law. When you don't keep it, you place yourself under the law. You make yourself subject to it. And when you keep it, you establish the law, that it is good and that it's holy. So he's not saying the law is done away with. But Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believes, because Christ is the one that came and gave you a way to start over to the forgiveness of your sins and through baptism. So everything that you had, all the ordinances that you had broken under the law, when you came to Christ, all of those transgressions were forgiven. And you were supposed to come up out of that water a new creature, not subject to the law anymore. Aware of the law, but not subject to it, because you were not going to break it. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does those things shall live by them. So when you understand the law, you're supposed to live by the law. That's Hebrew, that's Gentile, that's Israel, that's the other nations. Once you are introduced to the law of the Most High and you understand it, you're supposed to live by it. Not say I'm not under it. If you didn't know fornication was wrong and it was just the way it was in the world where you grew up at, and you find out that it was wrong according to the Most High, then you're supposed to bring yourself out from under that and live by that. This is what Paul is saying here. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I'm going to go back there for a second, because we are taught that things are different. No, we're not taught this. Christianity teaches this, that you're not up under the law and that things change from the old to the new. And that can't be further from the truth. So let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. For a minute. We're going to get verses 11 through 16. But we're going to look at what Moses described, okay? Because it said in verse 5, for Moses described as the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which does these things shall live by them. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to start in verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from you, neither is it afar off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it down and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh thee, very near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Now, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love Yah thy Elohim, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And Yah thy Elohim shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So this is what Paul is talking about, that Moses is talking about, describes the righteousness of the law, that you would hear it and what? Do it. You have heard the law. You can't ask somebody to go up into heaven and get it and bring it down to you. You can't ask somebody to go across the sea and get it and bring it back to you. It is very near you. Where? In your mouth. How did it get in your mouth? You heard it. You studied it. Verse 6. Go back to Romans, because we went to the source. Now we're going to see what Paul says about this. So we have to understand that Paul is not creating anything new. He's not inventing anything new. He's quoting Moses. So back to Romans chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Didn't Moses say that? Don't ask somebody to go up into heaven to get it for you. That is to bring Christ down from above. or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. Moses said, don't ask somebody to go across the ocean to get it for you. Christ hadn't come yet. Paul is saying, hey, by faith, you understand that the word has already come. You don't ask somebody to go into heaven and get a word from God. But what said the law? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's how it got there. So in verse 9, he says that if thou confess with thy mouth Jesus and shall bless and shall believe in thine heart that Elohim has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You got to confess the Messiah. You got to confess the work that the Most High did through Messiah. You got to confess it. Now, there are some words that are very important in this next verse. Because, see, a lot of people believe that if they confess, they're saved. And that can't be further from the truth. Verse 10. So let me read verse 9 again so that we have understanding where we're at. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that Elohim raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto. This word, this little word, unto. We need to have an understanding of what that means. If I come unto your house, does not mean I came into your house. So there's a difference between unto and into. You believe with your heart, you believe unto righteousness. It brings you to the door of righteousness, but you got to walk in. You got to do what it takes to become righteous. I hope we can hear this. So with your heart, you believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Brings you to the door of salvation, but it doesn't put you into salvation. Because there's some things that you have to do. You have to first confess, means that you have to hear. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Well, you got to know him to believe in him. And you got to know him to understand what you could be ashamed of and what you aren't ashamed of. A rank sinner, somebody who has not heard of Christ, cannot be ashamed of him. They don't know about him to be ashamed. So this is talking about people who already are what? Believers. They know about him. They understand his doctrine, what he was teaching. And then they are ashamed. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus shall believe in thine heart that Elohim has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and all other peoples, the Greeks. See, when it says Jew and Greek, it's not talking about specifically the Greek people. The Greek people represent the Gentiles or all other nations. And so let's define something here, because the Bible sort of changes the definition of Gentile, or the language does. There was a Gentile people who settled the Isles, okay? But Gentile also represents a nation or nations. So when it says there's no difference between Jew or Greek here, it is talking about there's no difference between a Jew or any other man of any other nation or all other peoples. For the same Yah, over all, the Jew and all other peoples, is rich unto all that call upon him. He's not just looking at a Jew and somebody from Greece. He's talking about this Greek is all other people in the world. This is what this word represents. This is what the concept represents. For whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah shall be saved. How then shall they, the Jew and all other people, call on him whom they, the Jew and all other peoples, have not believed? If the Jew or any other person in the world, how can they call on Jesus or Yeshua if they have not heard about him? Hope we can hear this. How then shall they, the Jew, and all other people call on him in whom they, that word they represents the Jew and all other people, have not believed? And how shall they call, how they, the Jew and all other people, believe in him in whom they have, they, the Jew and all other people, have not heard? And how shall they, the Jew and all other peoples, hear without a preacher? So this word about Messiah started off with Israel, and it was to spread to the rest of the world. And the rest of the world also was going to have men that taught about Messiah. This job was given to Israel and then taken from Israel and given to the Gentile nation. So we're going to read this as we go into the next chapter. But the Jew and all other peoples that have heard about Messiah, believed on him, they have the same tasking to preach this gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, and to tell about Messiah. So he says, how are they going to do this? How are they going to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they going to believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe without a preacher? Somebody preaching, announcing the kingdom, announcing who Christ is. That's what the job of a preacher is. He's an announcer. He's a heralder. Now, he can have more than one office. He can also be a teacher. But his job is to announce the kingdom. His job is to announce what Messiah did. And how shall they, the Jew and all other peoples, preach except the Jew and all other peoples be sent? This is not for everybody to do. Everybody is not doesn't have the job of a preacher. But he's saying, how can they do this unless they be sent? You're not going to be dedicated to this if the Most High don't send you. Because as soon as you come up under some real fire, some real heat, if you're not sent, you're going to put it up. Maybe I wasn't called. Maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this. Verse 15 again. And how shall they, and the they here is still talking about the Jew and all of the peoples, preach except that they be sent, as it is written. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So remember, this they in this sentence is talking about the Hebrew Israelites, the Jewish people, not just, well, according to the scriptures, the same Jew, but we know that this is talking about Israel. How can they preach unless they were sent? Now we know how shall they, the Jew and all other peoples, preach except the Jew and all other peoples be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them, that them is still the Jew and all other peoples that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they, the Jew and all the other peoples, have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Yahoo has believed our report. Now, you might think that Isaiah is only talking to Israel. But Isaiah also knew what the plan of the Most High was. It was shown to him. So when he's saying, who shall believe our report, He's not even talking about the report of the prophets. This is the Most High talking through Isaiah from the position of our is Father and Son. This work that the Most High was going to do, who's going to believe this report? This is what Messiah said throughout his whole ministry. Do you believe who I say that I am? And if you go through the Gospels, through the Scriptures, it was always, do they believe? So when Isaiah said, who shall believe thou report, the Most High is speaking prophetically through Isaiah, and Isaiah is talking about all those who have heard the gospel. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Elohim. When you hear this word, when you study it, and you have an understanding, you have an open heart, then your faith should be increased. You should understand that I have a way out of my condition. I am a sinner. And I need a way out. Well, when you hear this gospel, you understand that you have a way out. So your faith should what? Increase. What? You mean I can get out of this condition? I can make myself approachable to the Most High, where I can go before the throne of grace with boldness. This is what he's talking about here. But I say, have they, the Jew and all other peoples, not heard? Yes, verily their sound went out into all the earth, and the words unto the ends of the world. Now he's going to turn their attention back to Israel only. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And let's get this source, because he's going back to Moses again. Where Moses said, Deuteronomy chapter 32, so Yah alone did lead him. Now, if you read the verses, and we're starting verse 12, I apologize. Deuteronomy chapter 32, we're going to read verses 12 through 21, okay? And he's talking about Jacob or Israel. And the Most High is saying how he brought Israel out, and he blessed them, and how they did him wrong, okay? Deuteronomy 32, starting verse 12. So Yah alone did lead him, Israel, and there was no strange God or Elohim with him. He made him, Israel, to ride on high places of the earth, that he might eat the increases of the field. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil of the flint rock, butter of kine, of cattle, and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, and rams of breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat kidneys of wheat. And did us drink the pure blood of the grapes. So he's saying he gave Israel the best of everything. He brought them into a land that was rich and fertile. Now remember when they came back with the report? Yeah, they got grapes so big it's too big to carry. But Jeshurun, this is Israel, waxed fat and kicked. He was blessed. Got fat and proud, lazy, and kicked. Thou art waxing fat. You've gotten fat. You, Israel, are grown thick. You are covered with fatness. Then he forsook Yah, which made him. So we got blessed. We received the blessings that the Most High said we would receive in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And we waxed fat at the blessings of the Most High. And he says, then we start to kick against him. We start to rebel against him. And we forsook him. So then he forsook Yah, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Lightly means they didn't care much for it. They didn't put a whole lot into it. Yeah, so what? They provoked him to jealousy. Israel provoked Yah to jealousy with strange gods or strange Elohim, with abominations, and provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to Yah. Now, you will read, we're going to read later on in this book, that you're told that those that are not saved, the Gentiles, they sacrifice unto devils. But Yah said Israel was guilty of this as well. They, Israel, sacrifice unto devils, not to Yah, to Elohims or to gods whom they knew not, to new Elohims or new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Your fathers, when I brought them into this land, didn't know about these gods, and they had no fear of them. They feared me. Now, you've been in the land, and you have heard about these other gods, and I told you not even to go ask about, not even ask what their name is. Don't even ask them how they worship their God. Don't inquire about anything about their gods. Now, you are fearing their gods, their Elohim. And you have forsaken me. Yah, the one who formed you, who brought you out. Verse 18. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful. You don't remember me, and has forgotten Yah that formed thee. And when Yah saw it, he abhorred them. Think about that. You pour all you have into somebody. You love them with all your heart, and then they treat you like dirt. Don't even pay no mind to you, like you weren't even there. Off running around with somebody else in your face. How do you think he would feel about them? Yah said he abhorred them. That's like a very strong hatred, like a hate of hate. He abhorred them because of provoking of his son and of his daughter. And he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see their end. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. This is what he accused Israel of all the time. Lack of faith. Lack of belief. Even when they saw all the signs and they saw the miracles, and if they didn't see the signs and the miracles, they were told about what happened. And they couldn't believe it. Well, my grandfather said he saw this, and the Most High did this, but I ain't seen nothing. No faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God or Elohim. They have provoked me to anger with their vanity, and I will move them to jealousy. So Yah says, all right, you want to go whoring after other gods. You want to fear other gods. You have provoked me to jealousy over you. So I'm going to turn around and do it to you. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. So Yah has already prophesied in Deuteronomy that he was going to do this to Israel because of what Israel had done to him. This is way back during Moses' time. Now let's go back to the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 20. So we see where the source is for this verse that Paul is quoting, and we get the substance of it. You have forsaken me. You have gone a whoring after other gods, fearing gods that your fathers didn't fear, treating me like dirt, not even being mindful of me. Therefore, I'm going to make you jealous, Israel. Verse 20, Romans chapter 10, verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Let's go get Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 1. Because, again, I want my Christian friends to understand that Paul is not writing anything new. He's actually fulfilling the word of the Most High. And he's referencing back to the time of Moses when the Most High brought Israel out of Egypt, placed us in our land, and how we treated him. And Paul is referencing back to these things because the Most High had already said, these people will not follow me. He told Moses this before he told Moses, get up on that mountain and die. These people will not follow me. So tell them this song that they're supposed to repeat. So in Isaiah 65 and 1, he says, I am sought of them that ask not for me, and I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. This is that foolish nation. This nation that is not called by his name. Now, when you look up the definition of nation, a nation can be made up of all of these are different parts of these. People with the same culture, belief, understanding. Matter of fact, let me get that definition of nation real quick. Give me a hot minute. So we understand it doesn't have to be all of these. It can be one of these or all of these to be considered a nation, something that ties somebody together. So when we use this word, when it says the nation of Islam, that's not just one country. I'm sorry, I should have had this already. Okay, nation, definition. A large body of people united by a common descent or history or culture or language. Inhabiting a particular country or a territory. Now, when we look at this, when we say the nation of Islam, that's not talking about a particular country. They can be all over the world. This nation that the Most High is talking about is a people that have a common culture. A common culture. So let's see who that is. By a people which are not a people. Now, we think about a people, we'll say, oh, you're a Hebrew. Your homeland is Israel. Your language is Hebrew. Your culture is you're supposed to be following the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. And keeping his feast day and announcing the kingdom of Yah to the world. That could be a nation that established a culture, a country, and so forth. But Christianity is also a nation made up of many countries. And when this word was written, the nation that he was going to give this to, the peoples that he was going to give this to, they were still barbaric. They were the Huns and the Vandals, warring tribes. They were not the nations that they are today. And when they came into a common, what brought them under commonality? Was this religion called Christianity. Made up of all kind of peoples and nationalities, but what they have in common is their belief in Messiah, their Christianity. This is the people which are not a people. And I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation, because here is a people who say they believe in Messiah, but don't keep his statutes, laws, and commandments. This is that wild woman. Israel, you were my wife. And I gave you my marriage vows, the 10 instructions, because the law was separate from that. I gave you my marriage vows. I told you don't have any other God before me. Don't worship the image of any other God, and don't take another God's name. So don't take my name in vain. Don't marry me and take my name and treat it as nothing. I gave you my marriage vows, and I went into covenant marriage with you. This nation, this woman, this foolish nation, this woman, that I'm going to take, I gave you these things. Now, she's a wild woman. I'm going to make you jealous with her. Because you're going to say, they don't keep the statute, laws, and commandments. They don't keep the feast days. Yah said he would do this to you. I'm going to make you jealous like you made me jealous. Let's continue. Verse 21, Romans chapter 10, verse 21. But to Israel, he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Go back to Isaiah chapter 65. So Paul is just quoting further from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 65, verses 2 through 5. I have spread out my hands all day unto a rebellious people which walked not in the ways that was not good after their own thoughts. Let me read that again, because somehow I feel like I read it wrong. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Again, the Most High is telling Israel, what's wrong? You have no faith. You're walking after your own what thoughts. This is what I think. This is how I think things should be. Never mind, the Most High has already told you how things should be. But we don't want to listen to him. We're going to do it our way. A people that provoke me to anger continually to my faith, that sacrificed in gardens and burned incense upon altars of brick. Do we understand the significance of this verse? Altars of brick. The altar is supposed to be made of a stone that has not been hewn, has not been cut. It has no tool that's touched it. You have to form brick. So these people were making altars out of brick that the Most High says, I'm not honoring that. I told you to make the altar out of stones that had not had a tool put to them. It had not been cut. And here you are going to form brick and make an altar to me out of it, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh. What? Israel was doing what? Eating swine's flesh. And broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself. Come not near to me, for I am holier than you. This is what Israel was saying to the Most High. I'm holier than you. These are smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all day. So our forefathers, they were really sticking their thumb up to the Most High, thumbing, like, you know, you take the thumb and you thumb your nose at somebody. This is what they were doing to the Most High. But he still chose us. And he says, all the day long, I have sought after you. I married you. And you forsook me. So this is what Paul is telling the Gentiles about Israel. This is what my brethren of the flesh were doing to the Most High. Now, you would think that probably the Gentiles were probably saying, what, how could he, why would he keep this people? Yeah, that's probably why the Most High left him. Because they just did him all kind of ways. Let's go into the book of Romans chapter 11, because this is really a continuation from 10. Paul has told the Romans, see how Israel has done the Most High, and how they forsook him, and how they were not mindful of him. and how they worship other gods and feared other gods, other Elohims. Let's pick it up in Romans chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, has Yah cast away his people? This is a question. Yah forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul said, hey, I'm an Israelite too. Yah has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know you not what the scripture said of Elias or by Elias, how he make his intercession to Yah against Israel, saying, Yah, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they, Israel, seek my life. Go to 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. And we're going to get verses 9 and 10, because, again, Paul is just going back and referencing the Old Testament. This is not new. 1 Kings chapter 19 and 9. And he came unto, now, this is after Isaiah has killed all the prophets of Jezebel, and she's threatened to kill him. And he came there unto a cave and lies there. And behold, the word of Yah came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? Did I call you and tell you to come here? And he said, I have been very jealous for Yah, Elohim of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thine prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So Paul is referencing how Elijah spoke against Israel. Now, we know this was Jezebel, but this Jezebel, really, this is when Israel was torn between following Baal and following the Most High. And most of the nation was following Baal. And when Elijah kills all the prophets of Baal, Jezebel threatens to kill him. He runs to Mount Hor, and he's telling the Most High, look at what Israel is doing. They're killing all your prophets. They're throwing down your altar, and I'm the only one left. What did the Most High say to him? Let's go back to Romans. We can read it in Kings, but we're going to go back to Romans because it states it this way in Romans as well. But what says the answer of Yah unto him? So we're in Romans chapter 11, verse 4. But what saith the answer of Yah unto him, unto Elijah? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men, Elijah, who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So you think you're the only one, but I got 7,000 throughout all of Israel that have not bowed the knee, just like you haven't bowed the knee. Verse 5, even so, then it is at this present time, because we're back in the present, and Paul is talking to the Romans, even so, then at this present time also, there is a remnant to the election of grace. The Most High said, I'm going to always have me some people. And I have a remnant that I have saved by grace. They have not succumbed to, they've heard the gospel and believed. And if by grace, then is of no more of works. In other words, these people didn't work for this. They were elected by the Most High, and he saw their heart that they believed the gospel and they're going to be true to him, so they didn't have to work for it. And you shouldn't have to work for it. It's not, keeping the law should not be a work to you. It should just be a way of life. So he says, I said, you are mine. I extend the scepter to you. Accept salvation. You believe in the Messiah, you're saved. He says, no, not of works. Otherwise, if they had to work for it, grace is no more grace. If I said you had to do something for this, then grace is not grace. If I said you had to earn this, then grace is not grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. The grace that I extended to you, your sins are forgiven. If I said you had to work and work that off, then grace is no more grace because you worked it off. But if it be of works, if you can work this your way into the kingdom, if you can work and get your citizenship into the kingdom, then you didn't get it by grace. You earned it, and you would have been able to do that without Christ. And he said, that is impossible. You can't get to me without coming through Christ, and Christ is my grace extended towards you. Believe on his works. Do what he said to do, and I will save you. He said, but otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for. But the election, those that I extended grace to, the remnant have obtained it, and the rest of Israel was blinded. So, the rest of Israel being blinded. According as it is written, Yah has given them the spirit of slumber. This is a sleep. This word slumber, you get two different definitions of it. Some say it's a light sleep. Some say it's a deep sleep. But really, my understanding of this word is, this is that type of sleep where you don't hear nothing. You are, for more or less, you're dead to the world. So he gave us the spirit of slumber, eyes that they, Israel, should not see, and ears that they, Israel, should not hear unto this day. Now, we know that in these last days, the Most High is waking us up. Still, for the vast majority of us, with a number of us that are in the Americas, the vast majority of us are still in slumber. Eyes that we should not see and ears that we should not hear. And even some of us that are awake are still half asleep. So we just caught up that we proud that we know that we Israel. But this gospel of the kingdom, we want it to be all about Israel. And the Most High has already said, I'm the God of all the earth. You think I'm the God of Israel? And in the end, I'm destroying all these other gods, all these other showing people that there's only me. And if they get caught worshiping anything else, it's going to be a quick death, a quick trip to the lake of fire. That's another story. So, according as it is written, Yah has given them, Israel, the spirit of slumber, eyes that they, Israel, should not see, ears that they, Israel, should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their, Israel, table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense or repayment unto them, Israel. David said, David knew, he had already seen what Israel was doing and was going to do. And he said, man, let this be a snare to my people. Because remember, David's the king of Israel. And a stumbling block to my people. And a repayment to my people for what they're going to do to the Most High. Let their eyes be darkened, that they, Israel, may not see. And bow down their, Israel's back always. So David said, hey, this, what Israel is doing, deserves punishment. And he's saying, through the Most High, let this be on them always. Paul says, I say then, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 11. Paul say, I say then, Have they, Israel, stumbled? That they, Israel, should fall? Yah forbid. But rather, through their Israel fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. So he told you who, Paul is telling you who the nation is that's going to make Israel jealous. Now, what nation is the Gentiles? That's many nations, right? But this is really all other nations other than Israel. This is all other peoples. This is who Gentiles represents here. All other nations other than Israel, to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. Why? The Most High told us back in Deuteronomy. I'm going to provoke you to jealousy by a people who are not a people and a foolish nation. Why is this nation foolish? They say they believe in the Most High, but they really don't follow him. They really don't follow him. So he says that they're a foolish nation, but they're drawn to him. They call on him. They still don't do what he said to do, but neither did Israel. And now Israel sees the church, because this is the one that is really dealing with the Most High. And we talk about the church. We're jealous of, well, they do this and they do that. They don't do this, they don't do that. Why are you jealous? Most I said, you did that to me. So now I'm going to make you jealous the same way. Verse 12. Now, if the fall of them here is Israel, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, Israel, be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their, Israel's, fullness? So when we are in our place and being who the Most High called us to be and doing what he called us to do, how much more perfect, how much more righteous, how much more saved will the world be? How much better off will it be when we're doing what we're supposed to do? So he said, the Most High says, if the fall of Israel be the riches of the world, the world is going to get blessed, get the blessings that we were supposed to have as his people. And the diminishing of Israel, the riches of the Gentiles, specifically to them. How much more do you think the world is going to be blessed when we're in our place? Verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostles of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. I'm blowing up, I'm bragging, but, you know, really, this is not a real brag, is what Paul is saying. I magnify my office, but I really would rather be something else, because I know that this is that wild woman. But I'm sent to them by the Most High and to provoke you, Israel, to jealousy. Verse 14, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them, not the Gentiles, Israel, as we know that, which are of my flesh, and might save some of them, Israel. So Paul says, hey, I know what I'm doing. I know that the Most High has put me on this. To provoke Israel. That some of them, not all of them, might be saved. Some of them. And when it says all Israel, that all is the remnant. The faithful. Verse 15. For if the casting away of them, Israel, be the reconciled, of the world. What shall the receiving of them, Israel, be? But life from the dead? Israel has a job that the Most High chose Israel for. You are a peculiar people. But only a remnant of you will follow me. The rest of y'all busy making me jealous, making me hate you, making me abhor you. But guess what? I got much love for you. Even the ones that are making me sick. But I'm not going to let you go unpunished. Let's continue. Verse 15. Verse 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. The branches are Israel. Israel is the branches off of the root, Messiah. And if some of the branches, which is Israel, be broken off, and thou, Gentile, being a wild olive tree, this is that wild woman, that's how I describe her, being that wild olive tree, were grafted in among them Israel, and with them Israel partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. So, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, are grafted in among the among them Israel, with them Israel partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. He says, boast not against the branches, which is Israel. Don't think you've taken their place. Don't boast against Israel. Don't talk against Israel. Don't puff yourself up against Israel, the branches that are broken off, the ones that you took slaves, the ones that you conspired to say, we shall conspire together, that this should not be a people. Paul is saying, don't boast against these branches that are broken off. You are a wild olive tree. You, that wild woman that the Most High is taking to provoke Israel to jealousy. And I'm going to graft you in among my people, Israel. And with them, Israel, you're going to partake of the root, Messiah, and the fatness, the blessings of the olive tree, the blessings of Messiah. Boast not against the branches, Israel, but if thou, Gentile, boast, thou, Gentiles, bearest not the root, but the root beareth thee. Thou, Gentiles, will say, then, the branches, Israel, were broken off, that I, a Gentile, might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they, Israel, were broken off. And you, or thou, Gentile, standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Now, understand that most of the Gentiles don't understand this, and they're doing exactly what the Most High told them not to do. Boasting, keeping down his people, bragging that we're now the people. We're Israel, you got fired, and we're the people. What did you just read? He said, don't boast against the natural branches. He said, but fear. Don't be high-minded, but fear. If you say you belong to Messiah, then you have to understand that you can't be mistreating his people, but you should be conducting yourself from the position of fear, not high-minded, not the spirit of superiority, but fear. Verse 21, for if Yah spare not the natural branches, Israel, take heed lest he also spare not you, Gentile. You, that wild woman, and he's using you to make Israel jealous But the Most High says, hey, if you become high-minded, boastful against the natural branches, then I won't spare you either. I'll put you away. Verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of Yah. On them Israel would fail. Severity. This was a serious offense, and it caused Israel to be fired. And the gospel given to another nation. And if I had time, I would take you into the book of Matthew and show you where Messiah said it himself. But toward the Gentile, goodness. If you, Gentile, continue in his goodness, otherwise, you, Gentile, shall also be cut off. So he said, hey, I broke the natural branches off. I blinded them so that I could offer you this, but I wanted to use you to make my people jealous for me, like they made me jealous for them. So I'm going to take you, wild woman, and I'm going to bring you into my house. I'm going to make my wife jealous. And if you act up, if you talk against her, like Hagar did, if you get this all high-minded, like Hagar did, what happened to Hagar? She got cut off. She got cast out. This is what the Most High is saying to the Gentile nation. I blinded my people that I might bring you in. And also to teach my people a lesson. Don't take me for granted. Don't think that I just got to take you. I called you my wife, and I want you to be holy. I want you to be clean. I want you to stand upright. And the only thing you want to do is gap your legs and give it away for free to anybody that came along, to any new god that came up. So I'm going to use this wild woman to make you jealous, but I was going to bring them in anyway, and this is the mechanism I'm using. Now, the next couple of verses are this is going to be hard for the Hebrew to hear, because I've heard so many times say things that they ought not say. But let's see what the scripture says. So he says in verse 22, if the Gentiles, if they don't recognize what the Most High is doing, if they become boastful and high-minded, that they shall be cut off. And we know the vast majority of them are going to be cut off because of what they've done. Some of them are still going to make it in. Verse 23, and they, Israel, also, if they, Israel, abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For Yah is able to graft them in again. So, the broken branches, the branches that were cut off, Yah says that if Israel doesn't abide in unbelief, we can be grafted back in again. Don't think that just because you're a Hebrew Israelite that you get in automatically. You got to do what Messiah said and be grafted back into this tree. That's why I say when people understand this word cut off, you can be grafted back in again. Verse 24. For if thou, Gentile, were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, Israel, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their, Israel's own olive tree? I broke these branches off. And if I can graft you in, Gentile, who came out of a wild tree, how much more and how much easier it's going to be for me to graft my own people back in, the natural branches. Now, what Paul says next, let's pay attention to it. For I would not, brethren, that you Gentiles should be ignorant of this mystery. For you Gentiles should be wise in your own Gentiles, should be wise in your, wait a minute, let me reread that. For I would not, brethren, that you Gentiles should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you Gentiles should be wise in your own Gentile conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The fullness of the Gentiles are all those that the Most High has determined, predetermined, that he's going to say, bring into the kingdom of the Gentiles. Israel is going to be blind until that point. And so all Israel shall be saved as it is written. Did I skip something? Maybe I did. Let's see. I don't know if I did. So all Israel shall be saved as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them. For this is my covenant with them, Israel, when I shall take away their Israel's sins. As concerning the gospel, they, Israel, are enemies for your Gentile sake. But as touching the election, they, Israel, are beloved for the Father's sake. So this is why he tells you, don't brag against the natural branches, because the Most High loves his people. And he's doing this to his people, more or less to get back at his people for forsaking him. You forsake me, let me show you how it feels. You went a whoring after other gods, let me show how it feels when I take this other woman. And she flaunts it in your face. Yeah, I know she's doing these wild, crazy things, and she ain't listening to most of what I say. But I'm going to make you do what I say, and I'm going to hold you accountable to do what I said. But then I'm letting her get away with it. Don't be jealous. Because this didn't even have to happen if you had not done to me what you did. That's what the Most High is saying. So he said, the Most High says, Israel is beloved for his sake. For the gifts and the calling of Yah are without repentance. The Most High said, I gave this, the oracles, the statutes, laws, and commandments to Israel as a gift for being my people. They gave it to them as a job to do. And I did this without repentance. They're still my people. I'm just punishing them and making them jealous for breaking the law and worshiping other gods. But they're still my people. For as you Gentiles, verse 30, for as you Gentiles in time past have not believed Yah, yet have now obtained mercy through their Israel's unbelief. For even so have these Israel also now not believed, that through your Gentiles' mercy, they Israel may also obtain mercy. Most Hebrews don't want to hear that. What? Wait a minute. What did you just say? Through the Gentiles' mercy, we might attain mercy. Yah said, I told you I was going to make you jealous. I gave your job to somebody else. And all you branches that I broke off, now you got to go through them for mercy. When they were supposed to be coming to you. We don't like to hear that. But I didn't say this. Paul said this. So let me reread it. Even so have these Israel also now not believed, that through your Gentiles' mercy, they Israel may also obtain mercy. For Yah has concluded them Israel all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths and the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of Yah. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We Hebrews, we don't want to hear, we have to go to the Gentiles for anything. But if it hadn't been for the Gentiles and the word that the Most High gave them, and them thinking that, well, if we change the color of the people, if we tell them this is all about us, we can take their God from them. But God, but Yah himself, already knew this was going to happen, knew they would try this, and says, I'm going to wake up my people in the last days, and I'm going to have mercy on them because they are my, this is the ones I chose from the beginning. This is the wife who I loved. I went out and got you Gentiles to make her jealous. And I made her go through you to come back to me. Now, ain't that a bop? He says, now, don't even try to figure out why I did it this way. My ways and my means and how I do things are unsearchable. How I bring about salvation and how I bring about my judgments, my ways are past finding out. So don't feel used, Gentile, and don't feel used, Israel. Don't think that you can question my motives or my ways. I'm telling you, I did this to you, Israel, to make you jealous. And I'm telling you, Gentiles, I use you to make my people jealous. I am Elohim. I am sovereign. So don't think that you can tell me what to do and how to do it. Don't think you can understand why I do it. My ways are past finding out. They're far above you. For who has known the mind of Yah, or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid unto him that gave it to Yah. Nobody has given Yah anything that he's got to repay somebody for. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. This is the book of Romans, chapter 10 and 11. And Paul has given a great overview as to why things are the way they are today. And Israel, when is this going to end for you? When the fullness of the Gentiles come in. When Yah has saved all the Gentiles that he's going to save. In the meantime, he's waking you up. And he's telling you what you did. And he's telling you why things are the way that they are. And he said, now, be my faithful wife. Are you going to worry about what the wild woman is doing? Or are you going to be my faithful wife and keep my statutes, my laws, and my commandments like I told you to? See, because you went a whoring on me. When there was no strange gods among you, I showed you myself. I showed you where you couldn't say, oh, that was the god of the water, or that was the god of the cloud, or that was the god of the fire, or that was the god of the sea, or that was the god of the flies, or the frogs, or the river of blood. You knew it was just all me. And every god that Egypt, every Elohim that Egypt worshiped, I used that God against them to show them that he was no God. And because even when Pharaoh declared himself to be a God, I took his firstborn son and said, now, you're not going to touch mine. In Jeremiah, he says, is Israel my firstborn. Pharaoh, I'm going to kill your firstborn. You're not going to touch mine to show you you're not God. You're not a God. You are a man. So the Most High says, I showed this to my people. They had been in Egypt over 200 and some odd years at that point. And I showed them everything that Egypt worships. I'm going to use it against them so they will know that I am the only God. And so more so my people will know that there's only one Elohim. There is only one God. The greatest nation in the world, I'm going to bring down. Because they were my people at one time. So, I so hope something was said that edified someone out there, that we have to understand through the word of the Most High, from the Gentile to Israel, why things are the way that they are. Don't boast and be high-minded Gentile. Don't boast against Israel. Don't mistreat Israel. And if you know who Israel is, if you do any study at all, then you know who Israel is. And Israel, don't you become high-minded and puffed up either. Because we operated, the Most High said, from a lack of faith. We didn't really believe. We went chasing after other gods. So I'm going to make you jealous. With that being said, I turn back over to Brother Job and Sister Ray. On next week.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I look at that scripture and you know, we brought up the Deuteronomy chapter 32. He said, I'm going to provoke you to jealousy because you provoke me to jealousy by worshiping devils. I'm going to provoke you to jealousy with a foolish people. And then you clarify by not just Gentiles, but any other nationality, you know, that's willing to follow the rules and guidelines of the God of Israel, they are going to be accepted by the God of Israel. And then in Romans chapter 11, he said, then he put most of us to sleep. He said, God, they seeking after my life. Who? We. Jezebel had 400 prophets that were Israelites, you know. Let's not get that twisted. They were your folks. They wasn't just strangers.
Right.
And so Elijah was praying against his own people. And the Lord had reminded him that he got 7,000, which is relatively a very low number compared to the millions of us that was in the kingdom at that time. They never bowed their knee to the name of Baal. And then he said, then it became a choice of election and who was in the know or who wasn't going to be in the know. And that's by election. And then he said, and then we'll provoke them to jealousy that's not in the know with a foolish people. There they go again. But wait a minute. Who is he provoking to jealousy? His first wife. By doing what? Bringing who? A stranger home. Uh-oh. Wait a minute.
not just a stranger, a wild stranger.
Wait a minute. A white stranger.
Yeah.
He said, oh, Lord, he done brought home a white woman. Well, to do what? Provoke you to jealousy. Because you didn't appreciate where you was in the gate. Some will provoke you to jealousy with a foolish people. You still ain't gonna get me out there ice fishing with an 8-ton truck right behind me. The 8,000-pound truck on the block. No. No. That's not wisdom. So excellent precept. You know, we got to really stop paying attention to this because he starts separating us. He starts separating the Gentiles and the Israelites with conversation. Then he starts using circumcision and uncircumcision and the circumcision, then the circumcision. So he starts interchanging it. Y'all, this is when he starts identifying the Gentiles as circumcision. This is a great book, man. This Romans is an awesome book. I'm glad you're walking through this book. Thank you for taking it through it. Amen. Yield the mic on that.
Amen. If there's any other comments, like I said, I wanted you to, if I made a mistake in the translation of the pronouns from Israel to Gentile, so that we can get this straight. Because we want to be in truth. And a lot of times we've got to put our pride to the side and be in truth and walk according to, you know, it's easier to walk in something if you're walking in it in truth. You might not rebel as much as if you understand the truth. So the Gentiles have their place. They have their role. And their role is assigned to them by the Most High. Now he's waking up his people. He says, all Israel shall be saved. But that all is talking about the remnant. And we saw that, as Job said, 7,000 out of millions is not a lot. That's not a big remnant. So we want to be mindful. Be very appreciative that the Most High has awakened you. So let us not be children any longer. So let us grow up and walk in the true faith and what the Most High has given to us as a people. And understand that we're not going to see change, big change, until he comes back. Till he says, all right, these are all the other nations that I'm going to save. Now, Israel, you can come out of your room. Because I sent you to your room for punishment. And you know how some of us are hard-headed. We don't come out when we want to come out. We don't do this because this is what we want to do. But he told us, these things are going to be on you until the times of the Gentiles are over, are fulfilled. So if the Most High has placed us in a nation or nations where we are free to worship him as he said, to worship him. So long, Hebrew Israelite. If we are free to worship him as he has said to worship him, why are we not doing it? What excuse do we have? We're not in the land. That's an excuse. Because you had freedom to worship him, especially in America. I can't speak about any place else. But in America, we are free to worship the Most High as he has said to worship him. And somehow we find a way not to do it. So we are without excuse. So let us grow up. Let us not be children anymore. Let us not act out of malice, out of hate, for what the Gentiles are doing, because we just read why they are doing what they're doing, why they are where they're supposed to be. And Gentiles, don't be puffed up, because you just read the Most I said, don't you be puffed up and boast against the natural branches. Don't have this air of superiority like you better than they are. Because you're not. So we have to understand, as his people, we can live in this country under the statutes, the laws, and the commandments, the traditions, not the traditions of our fathers, but the traditions of the Most High, in this country, because we're free to do it. And the only reason that we don't do it, truthfully speaking, you don't want to do it. That's the bottom line. We understand why this is going on. We understand, those of us who have truly awakened, we understand. Those of us who are still half asleep, we might be still fighting in our sleep, fighting the past, fighting what our forefathers put us into. But if we are going to be men and women of the Most High Elohim, the Most High Yah, then it's time for us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And not be trying to cut the Gentiles out, because the Most High brought them in. It ain't up to us. But they have to also understand what position we hold with the Most High and respect that as well. So with that being said, on next week, we're going to be looking into Romans chapter 12 and 13. Because there are some, you know, I was talking to this sister online, and she didn't believe in the New Testament because she thought it was a new test. And her motivation for that, her motivation was wrong, but she was right. There's a test in the New Testament for New Testament believers. Paul talks about it in the book of Romans. And a lot of times we read these things and we become very, what I'm going to call, micro-focused. But we'd be so busy looking at the grains of sand that we can't see the outlay of the land and what he's really saying. So when we come to these chapters and these particular types of verses that are, to me, they're revelatory, they give great insight into what the Most High wants for us, how he wants us to be walking with him. So you're going to find out that even if you're in Christ, if you're in Messiah, you can choose death and be in him and still go to the lake of fire. Think about that. You can say you believe in Messiah and choose him and still go to the lake. And he says, let you choose him and go to the lake, because it's your choice. But he don't want us bickering and fighting amongst one another and causing schisms in his body. So on next week, chapters 12 and 13 in the book of Romans, and we will walk through those chapters. We won't read about some of the things that I said tonight as far as choosing life or death until we get into chapter 14. But we want to worship the Most High in spirit and in truth, and we don't want to do it as the Most High said. We don't want to do it of our own opinion, of our own mind, because that's what we're guilty of doing. That's what Israel is guilty of doing, worshiping him out of our own mind, doing what we want to do rather than what he said to do. And let the wild woman do what the wild woman's going to do. Get your eyes off of her and get your eyes on the Most High. And let her do what she's going to do, because that's what she was there for. So if you continue to let her make you jealous and make you act up out of jealousy, whose fault is that then? Because he just told you. So if I tell you why you're acting the way that you're acting, and you don't fix it, then that's your fault. That's your fault. So love you all. Peace and blessings. Until next week. May Yah keep you. Brother Joe, Sister Rhea.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.